a gristle.
The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
Pointy at the doggy.
Gummy ball ball.
Previous.
Yeah, no worries, I have good footy.
Which part of that was
confusing? I've got a real problem with that. Bloody
hell.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show that is cut up into 31-minute poems about 30 different sports stars. Hi, I'm Joel Kassam and I am just the best. Ah, so great. Some people who are also the best and are so great are the following. First up is a man who is gutted there's no schoolies this year. It's Mick Rad.
I had my tool out ready to go.
I bet you did. Have you missed one since you left school?
Have I missed one schoolies?
Yeah, you've got every year, haven't you?
30 in a row.
Straight up to Queensland. Hanging out
I'm
with
a veteran schoolie.
It must have been like 1920 or something when you went to your first schoolies.
Back then we call it, oh no, I really tried to think of something funny, but I couldn't.
Standard. Nah.
Back then, Queensland and New South Wales were still one state. Didn't have to go far. Oh, that's no. I'm sorry. That's not funny at all. Hi, Mick. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a bit sick, actually.
We'll save it. We'll get to that. That could be part of it. Hey, they save it. Don't ruin the. You save the good stuff for like when we get into the content. Just say
the
I'm good.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm good, thank you, y'all.
And holding the record for the most COVID tests, it's Gabby Morris.
Oh, I think it's actually I think it's something to be, proud of, you know, doing something for the community, making sure I'm getting tested regularly, checking that I'm not spreading this mother effer around the world, you know, one fucking nasal swab at a time.
In that sentence, you did an effing and then a fucking.
I know. I couldn't be fucked.
Have you come across a person or a test which has been worse than the other? Are they all different? Like,
Well, this time round, it was pretty weird because she normally, so it's like normally a swab of your throat and then up the nose, and I've only ever had it on one nostril, but this time she went back for seconds and did the other nostril, and that was a bit of a shock. And before that I said to her, hey, do you mind if I film this, because I wanted to just film it, and she goes, oh, I won't be able to film you and take a swab. And I said, no, I don't expect you to film me as well.
No, I've got a camera crew.
You've already got enough on your plate. And then she goes, oh, excuse me. And she had to go outside to sneeze. And she sneezed in her mask, in her PPE. Like, it was just a struggle. But anyway, this one definitely felt like it touched the brain for sure. It was quite, it was like solid 3 inches deep in there,
God.
I reckon. But it doesn't hurt. Like, it's not painful. They've got the new tests now. They're a lot softer and gentler. It's really quick. Like, she was really great. But yeah, this one, I feel like being in the, I was in the car the first time. So I feel like that's a good, it's a bit lower or something. I can't figure it out.
Were you in the car in that video you sent us?
No. The first time I had one.
Oh, okay.
How many have you had now, Gab?
Two. Well, I don't know. Just like, she went for two nostrils this time, so I feel like that's almost three.
Yeah.
So
two and a half.
Anyway, all negative. So that's good.
Yes, that is good.
Negative is good.
Very happy for you.
Negative is good. Well, now though, I do find it funny because the messages are at this time your test result is negative, and you're like, all right, well, let's just. You know, be proud of that one. When do you want me to come in again? Bloody hell. Normally they're just like negative. They're like, just at this time.
Next like, time, yeah, though.
Thanks for reminding me. Thanks for reminding me that this is never ending.
Yeah, yeah. Look, before we talk about you, Mick, and your ailments, I should mention that we are doing this show from three different locations, such as the technology we have. Mick's over at SBS Studios. Should I say that on here?
Yeah.
Joel's at 2SER Studios and Gabby's...
The
Morris Studios. And, so that's why it might sound a bit funny today, because we're all in three different places. So that's it. But it's quite amazing. This is some Beyond 2000 shit, really.
Yeah. Beyond.
Beyond.
Do you guys remember that show, Beyond 2000?
I used to love it. Yeah. And they didn't predict this bloody pandemic back then, did they? No.
Beyond 2000 pandemic.
It was used to be, what's her name? Amanda
Keller.
Keller, who was on that show. That's right.
I have to say, I think it's
not
weird
Helen Keller
that we're doing this show and the technology's so great, but for some reason you both don't have your cameras on and I can't see you. So,
well, you can't see me because I'm a voyeur.
I don't. Yeah.
And no, because the studio where I am doesn't have that. I don't have a camera. But Mick, I don't know what Mick's excuse is.
Well, no, SBS's budget is not good enough to have webcams. So all the video gear, and the video studios and the radio studios are so pov that we can't afford cams. So
I guess it's not something that you put into the budget in a radio station is cameras.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you'd think that, but nowadays all the fancy radio stations have cameras installed, so we're just a little bit behind the curve here at your public broadcaster.
We'll get there. Good reminder that supporter drive is coming up.
Oh, it is too.
It is. So give us money so we can film ourselves.
Give me some of that.
Help
to
us, yeah, I get
baby. There's going to be a lot of talking over the top of each other.
Okay.
Not
radio.
That there normally isn't.
No, that's true. That's true. Mick, so how are you? You've got something wrong.
Just pokey. Oh, look, so my doctor reckons I've got the tonsils of a teenager. I don't quite know what that means.
That's
like
sounds
sort of pudgy,
disgusting.
And annoying. I don't know.
Do you have them in a jar?
No.
What are these? Doc, what are these?
Like, I've got the. Why have you got the tonsils of a teenager? Very funny, girl. Well done. No, they're a bit bulky, as I've been told, my tonsils, bulky tonsils. So they're inclined to get infected, which then causes tonsillitis, which then causes me to yell out in pain every time I swallow. So not nice.
No, that's not fun. I'm sorry to hear that.
But at least I don't have COVID. I'm now no longer a COVID test version. So I had one this week.
What was your experience like?
It was fine. Like the lady who did it for me at Redfern Medical Center was so careful. Didn't even touch my brain. Did it in my mouth and in my
brain. There's no brain to touch. Come on.
Come on.
Well, I what?
Like, come on, that was an obvious one. I got it. Just move on.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was right. Actually, it was a lot better than some people have said. Yeah, it really hurts or it's uncomfortable, and I just didn't. Went, oh, is that it? It's too easy.
Yes.
So,
right.
Anyway, done.
Too easy. Come on, people. It's fine.
Go get it done.
Yeah.
If you feel sick. Yes. So, all right. Is that content, or do we have more stuff?
Nah.
Mick,
that's
anything?
pretty quiet for me. I've seriously just been sitting at home watching an English cop show on Netflix every night. That's just it. That's
all what's it called?
Well, what's it called? It's called Line of Duty, if you wanted to know. It's very good. It's all about corrupt cops, corrupt coppers.
What do you give it out of 24?
21.
Ooh, that's high. Okay.
Mm. Yeah,
I'd be happy to transition into just talking about TV shows and movies if that's what we want to do on this show.
We can do that. What are you watching at the moment, Gab?
across the telly. I actually feel quite embarrassed about what I'm watching at the moment. I'm so addicted to it, but I don't even know if I can say it. It's quite embarrassing.
Do you have to get it off the internet?
No. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay. You can say it.
It's off.
It's a safe space. No one's listening.
Okay. I'm watching Outlander, and I'm obsessed.
Okay.
Have you guys even
never watched
Outlander?
No, never seen
it. It's like a Highland time-traveling Scot. It's like embarrassing when you say it out loud. A Scottish time, like Highlander time traveler hetero romance that is just absurd but so addictive. Like, it's, I mean, it's like really famous and like won all these awards, and like there's been books going on forever. And I'm up to season four, and I'm genuinely anxious that there's only two more seasons left and they're not going to be a part of my life anymore.
Oh no, I hate that. I hate that feeling.
It's so sad, it's scary. Yeah.
But I don't like. Anyway, I've heard of the show. I've never seen it. But Scottish and time travel, I mean, they're two of my favorite things.
Right?
Yeah.
Great accent. It's so good. And I only remember watching this show because once I went over to my nan's house many years ago and she was watching it. She's 92 and she's so obsessed with it. And I got there and it was just this, like, it's known for its like hectic sex scenes. And she was just sitting there, just not even fazed that I was there, just loving it. Sexy Scottish show, and I was like, whoa, this is too much. Like, I don't ever want to watch that show, but now I'm into it.
All right, cool.
I'm really into it.
Nice.
Just so you know, Gab, there's another season that's going to be coming next year.
Oh, I know, but they're in filming and they can't film at the moment because of COVID. So another devastation because of COVID.
I've never ever heard of it, but I've just looked it up. Very good content. Well, nice work.
Yeah, no worries.
Content.
So I myself am returning to cricket tomorrow.
Whoa.
So
cricket's back.
It's back. Well, so we decided at the end of last season that we were going to stop playing cricket and just hang out and play golf without all the drama. And then we actually didn't finish the last game we were playing, which is a semi-final, and now they want us to finish it. So we are spending one day batting tomorrow, and if we win, we continue to play, and if we don't, then we're done. So I'm doing some sport.
That's the biggest gap between days of a cricket match I've ever seen.
Has to
That's
be.
Ridiculous.
It has to be a record. I actually don't even remember.
That's a world record.
I'm going to try and look it up when we last played, but yes, it's a very long time ago. So
I do believe there's controversy associated with this because one of the members of your team has been sent off, you could say.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering why he wasn't saying anything in the group chat. He got suspended.
And thinking that he wouldn't have to play any more games, and he got suspended for the final, the semi-final, whatever it is.
That's right. I completely forgot. So we last played on – see, it says – this is what it says – day one, Saturday, 14th of March. Day two, Saturday, 5th of September.
6 months.
Huge gap. Huge gap. All right. So
how are you going to go? How's your batting form? You've been practicing for 6 months. You've been training for this day?
Not at all.
It's huge.
Not at all. No fitness. It's coming. No training. No anything. We were not going to win. It's fine. Also through the week, I managed to go to I don't want to get into why. It's to do with work, but I went to like a truck driving course and I had to drive a truck around, like, you see, you know, when people do the things like around the witch's hats and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I did all that. And the guy who was doing it was an ex-Bathurst racer. Raced with like Peter Brock and worked with Lounsey and other people I don't know. So, yeah. That's...
Oh, there you go.
Is it a semi-rigid truck?
Well, I don't even know what that means.
Well, you know, you've got to learn.
As a flaccid one.
Is it? It's like a giant ute. That's what it looks like to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sick one. That's pretty cool, Joel. Did you get a pic with it? Because that's a pretty good thing for your Tinder.
Oh, God.
Oopsie daisies.
All right. Well, can we move on now? Can we talk sport? That'll do.
Sport.
Yes. Sydney FC have taken home the toilet seat, winning the A-League Grand Final 1-0. against Melbourne City on Sunday night. Sydney is the this is Sydney's fifth title, meaning they are the best side in the 43-year A-League era. Three of those titles have come in the last 5 years as well. So a goal in extra time by fullback Ryan Grant gave Sydney a narrow 1-0 victory and a remarkable Premiership Championship double.
There you go. Well done, Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney.
Our hometown.
Mm-hmm. That's where we live, Sydney. You know it.
And we beat Melbourne. I mean, you know, Melbourne just can't get enough of being crushed by Sydney.
Can't take a trick.
I can't take a trick.
That's Melbourne City's first ever grand final as well. So, sucks to lose in your first ever grand final, I would say.
Got to lose one to win one.
Okay. I like that.
Okay.
I like that. You know, but I don't know if you saw any of the game, but Melbourne City actually did score a goal in the first half. And it was awarded, but then the VAR system got involved and they took it off them for an offside.
VAR.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. Illegal goal.
Wait, what? Do we have VAR and NRL?
We do.
It's called the bunker.
Called the bunker.
Well, I have a bone to pick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are we moving into NRL?
Guess what? Yeah, I was watching the footy.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, how good's footy?
Go on.
That's what I felt like. And there was a knock on by the Panthers earlier on in the first half. That somehow didn't get picked up, and it was shocking.
This is last night, sorry?
Yep.
Okay. Did you complain?
Yeah, so yeah.
I didn't watch the game.
I do. No. You didn't watch the game?
No. I mean, I don't watch every game. I know it sounds like it when I come into this show. I do have a life.
Really?
Yeah. No,
I
watch Netflix.
It was just the most blatant knock on, and I'm really shocked that, like, even the commentators were like, well, that was odd. That was an obvious knock-on right in the end zone. What is that end zone?
Here's a question, Gab. How would you resolve a situation like that? How would you decide that the NRL should treat? What would you do to fix this from happening again? You know?
Should I play an ad?
Like, if you ran NRL.
Uh-oh.
Gabby?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Gabby, the big question, you just got to hang up.
She couldn't handle
the pressure.
It was too much.
I thought it wasn't too long a pause there. It disappeared.
That's what I thought.
She has been having internet problems, poor Gabby. So we must preface.
We'll press on for a bit.
We might have to start the whole program again.
No, please. We're 18 minutes in. I'm not starting again. No.
I legitimately wanted to find out what Gabby's solution might be, because she might have something really, smart that hasn't been picked up. Because, of course, we've got the captain's call now in NRL, which I think is a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But you can't do a captain's call for a knock-on that they don't call, right?
Yes. No, actually, I'm not too sure of the rules. Like, do you have to do a captain's call or captain's challenge when play stops?
Well, yeah, usually captain's calls are after the whistle's been blown for something. But if there was no whistle blown and the play just continues, there's no opportunity for a captain to go, oh, can you look at that knock-on that happened 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, well, no, because we've moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't think that, I was really interested in hearing Gabby's opinion on it. Now that she's talked about footy, I'm like, well, here we go. It's time to engage.
I think she might be... Well, she's definitely trying to get back on, so we'll let her go for a minute. We can talk about other stuff because, of course, there were a lot of headlines this week. Firstly, what did we have here? At the Sharks, Bronson Sherry's NRL career is hanging by a thread after confirmation his B sample tested positive to anabolic steroids. Did you hear about this?
This is huge. I mean, this is a guy that was one of the next big things in NRL and rugby league. And he could be out of the game for
four years. So he's got a week to respond to a breach notice handed down by the NRL as of Tuesday, and he faces a 4-year ban from any like World Doping Agency compliant sport. So not just NRL, he could be banned from everything that's, you know, WADA is involved in. Which is, I think is
And he's like, what is he involved in? Is he involved at netball on the weekends?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, he can't go and like play AFL.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, what a doink. If that's what he's done.
You just call him a doink?
That's pretty silly. A doink, yeah.
He is a doink. That's a great way of putting it. He's definitely a doink. But he's 19. obviously, this is a stupid thing and whatever. But if it's only 4 years. So he's 23 when he comes back. Possibly 24. I don't know how it's going to work. But like, he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
It's not like...
True. I mean, I have a feeling if he came back, he wouldn't be the same player.
Well, that's the other thing. You don't have that.
Well, I mean, we don't even...
Yeah. Okay.
I'll stop talking.
Do you have any football news?
Rugby league news for me is really just waiting for Parramatta to play Penrith so we can knock them off their bloody pedestal. Because, of course, the Panthers are going amazingly well. They've now broken their own records for how many games they've won in a row and whatnot. Just got thrashed by the Broncos last night. But I'm waiting for Parramatta to play them in a couple of weeks because I want to see us beat them in Penrith. That's my big hope. Do you think there's a chance?
No, not at all, actually. I don't think there's a chance. Look, I just tried to ring Gab and she's...
Chose one of the dogs. Come on.
I will try her again.
Sure.
But okay, look, shut up. I don't know if, like, this is something actually I wanted to ask you because we spoke about it briefly last week because we were in after the Eels game last week where they got smashed. They didn't score a point. Everyone's now starting to write them off. You're obviously not.
Oh, no, look, I always hold out a little hope that my team will bounce back, and I'm sure they will. And if they're playing the Warriors this weekend, so I think that's a positive thing for us because we probably should win that game.
But Warriors are playing well.
You know what, the Sydney media just loves to hack into the Eels. As soon as the Eels win a couple of games, they're like, oh, next big thing, they're going to win the premiership. As soon as they lose a couple of games, they're like, oh, they're crap, why are they so bad? So they're just one of those teams that the media just loves to dig into as hard as they can.
You could say that about anyone, though, especially the Tigers. Oh, media hate the Tigers. Gabby?
Oh, God.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, can you answer Mick's question, please?
What would I do in the case of a VAR incident?
Yeah, we've literally just sat here in silence waiting for you.
No, you have not.
Yeah.
I don't even have time to really Google or anything. Well, I think the issue is here is that if you have VAR and a player has called or multiple players have called an incident, shouldn't you just go to the VAR just to back up any statements made?
But then any player could do that at any time and then you just stop the game for nothing.
Well, like, you can't be a dickhead about it, which is hard. I get it because it's NRL. But
exactly.
But surely, if we didn't know, I mean, I guess you need a linesman involved. So you need someone, you need another ref going, needs to go to VAR. Right?
Well, you know what?
What's
this
the point
year, then? They've
How
halved the refs.
Have...
There were two refs on the field last year, in the last few years, and this year there's only one ref on the field. So there's less chance. There's more chance that they'll miss something.
Mm. Oh, yeah. What? So the deal is because they didn't have enough money to pay refs that they've just got one in? So that's why you should be going to the VAR because you're paying all that money for a bloody bunker.
That's something. Yeah, I guess that's true.
But what happens, Gab, if you're running around the field, someone knocks on and then play continues, what do you do? Like, at what point do you say, I want to go back to that thing that looked like a knock-on a minute ago?
Mick, you're asking the wrong person.
Oh, these are the big questions again. I was just so excited that you were engaged in
no,
NRL.
I was actually really into it last night. It's funny how I'm like, boring NRL. But then as soon as you start watching it, you do get into it. But I have to say last night's game was a bit boring. Like, it was a little bit repetitive. Something about it was just not too exciting.
Yeah, well, the Panthers are just going through the motions. beating the Broncos. It's easy.
Yeah. Well, the Broncos have gone through a lot lately. I think we all need to just give them a break.
Okay. Oh, really?
They have. They've gone through heaps.
I don't know about that.
I don't know where this show is going. It's getting way too serious for me. I don't like it. So I should break. I'm not going to talk about that. In cricket news, aside from my game this weekend, there's other cricket being played. Australia's three-match T20 series against England kicks off tomorrow morning, I think about 3 a.m. our time. So they play, I think, three T20s and then three one-day internationals. This is our first national team to leave the country since the pandemic began, and et cetera. In rugby, Amy Perrett made history on Friday by becoming the first woman to referee a men's super rugby game. So well done, Amy.
Nice.
She's been like a sideline touchy for quite some time. But, yeah, this is the first time she got to referee a game. In AFL, they've only gone and bloody done it, the Adelaide Crows. They've won their first game of the season, beating Hawthorn by 35 points. The losing streak that has lasted more than a year is over, and they can go back to losing now. It's also the second time this year that the Crows have led at halftime. So there's another very interesting stat for you to take to the bank and get some money for that. And in other AFL news, the Gabba in Brisbane will host this year's grand final. First time it's ever been out of Melbourne in AFL, VFL history.
This is huge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I hate though? And I really dislike crazy. I hate parochialism for the sake of parochialism. So now all of a sudden Queensland are hosting AFL grand final and they're like, we're gonna make it all about Queensland. It's like, no, it's actually, we're just hosting it there because we're trying to help out, you know, another state who's struggling. No, it's all Queensland. And it's like, settle down. Like, why do they do this? Why do they make it all about them?
I don't know.
I think every state does. What are you talking about?
No, you see, if you ever go to Queensland, you watch any of the TV, every ad is just about how everything's so good in Queensland and we are the best.
It's pretty good.
No other state does
that. Pretty good in Queensland.
I think Mick just has a problem with Queensland because of the schoolie thing.
Oh, of course. He's salty.
Yeah. This whole episode he's been angry. Yeah. Sorry, Mick. As we're very quickly running out of time, let's do a game. Just a bunch of random questions, bruv. Okay.
Sorry, can I just say that this has been... Random. I mean, we've had schmozzles before, but this has been a schmozzle of a show.
By far our worst show.
Can I just also say that I fucking burnt my stew? I'm really pissed off.
You what? You what?
I burnt my stew.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense than burning your shoe. Okay. I'm sorry about your stew.
So sad.
Okay. In baseball, where did the Orioles come from?
Oregon.
Michael?
Houston.
We have a problem. Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah. I usually get these.
Been there. How many people, this is a good one, how many people are there in an official tug-of-war team?
Six.
What? Official. I'm going to say eight.
Oh. God damn it.
Oh, my God.
It
yes.
was the International Tug of War Day last Monday.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that's huge.
I know.
We should have dedicated a whole show to that. No, I can't be bothered doing it anymore. This show's been a mess.
I'm sorry, dear listener, for today. Technology and sickness almost stopped us from putting a show for you today, but we did it anyway. I hope you are happy.
We came, we saw, we conquered.
We try. We do try.
We just did
terribly. I got attacked by a pack of wild dogs, so I think that also we have to take that into account.
Yeah, we did mention that. Gabby actually couldn't walk out her front door because of dogs.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, that was fun. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
We will try.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Stay sporty.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, good evening and welcome to One Last Thing. 7:30 p.m. on a Friday night is 2SER's very own budget tonight show with me, Mitch Pyatt. Let's do one last thing together for the week. Coming up on tonight's show, the old mate take, Murray Olds, with the biggest news stories of the week. Going to speak to our future correspondent, Tom Roachy Roach, is standing by somewhere in the near future to tell us what we can expect. And you haven't heard of them, a musical segment featuring our friend Billy. I give him a fake band and a fake song. He's got 1 week to turn it around. Let's see what goods he can produce this week. I'll also sprinkle a little bit of tunes for your Friday evening. Plenty to come up. You're on 2SER. Tune to One Last Thing, your 2SER's very own budget tonight show with me, Mitch Byte. And the first thing we do on One Last Thing is look at the biggest stories in the week with our old mate, Murray Olds, the old mate take. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Mitch, very good evening to you. Mate, the old corona is just non-stop, isn't it? I mean, it's doing my head in. Roadmap on Sunday for Victoria, and let's hope that it's a map that people will get on board with because, look, it's fraying around the edges down there, I know. A lot of people are pretty cranky. I mean, here's this figure. $2.9 million in fines for breaching the rules in Melbourne in that corona lockdown, particularly the curfew. People are, you know, but the last 2 weeks, fines dramatically down. People have got the message. Let's hope, because the last time they eased the brakes off, remember, boom, yeah, the numbers went straight up. So Sunday's the day. But, man, I don't know about you. I'm not even living down there, and I'm over it. I'm over it. It's a fact of our lives now. And looking forward, for as far as you can see, it's going to be a fact of our lives. But the hell, just dominates. It dominates everything.
Yeah, hard to talk about anything else. Something that did come up during the week was our former head honcho, former PM Tony Abbott, making a bit of noise over there in the UK. What's he been talking about, and what's the repercussions?
Well, the thing, look, I mean, yes, he's the former Prime Minister of Australia. He was born in London, don't forget. So a British dad, Australian mum, and he's obviously was raised in Australia. And I think, like him or love him, I think it's fair to say Tony Abbott always has been a divisive figure in Australian public life. But, you know, never more so than when he was Prime Minister. You know, for example, that nonsense about giving Prince Philip a knighthood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no more room in the old bugger's chest to pin the medal, for goodness sake. It was so full of medals already. Tony Abbott now has been tapped to become an advisor to the British Board of Trade. In other words, a former Australian Prime Minister, tapped by the land of his birth to provide advice about trade opportunities that could conceivably run counter to Australia's best trading interests.
Oh.
So at this end, there's a bit of concern, an Australian end. Don't forget, too, Tony Abbott making $300,000 a year as his pension.
Oh,
we
wow.
pay the pension, $6,000 a week. $6,000 a week taxpayers pay Tony Abbott.
As a
is
thank
he really
you.
Gonna take, is he really going to take the Queen's shilling in London? Not according to some people in the UK. He was labelled Thursday night, Friday morning, Australian time this morning, a misogynist and a homophobe. And the Sky News, the female interviewer, just hooked into, I think it was the health minister. And she, is this the sort of guy we really want to be representing Great Britain on the world stage? A bloke who suggested 20 years ago that men would be more suited by physiology and temperament to exercise authority or issue commands. This is the guy who famously opposed same-sex marriage and once said he'd feel a bit threatened when he was asked about how to feel about gay men. I mean, come on. Tony Juggy as Abbott is this unreconstructed dinosaur. I mean, that's what Britain wants to sign up. These people are absolute bloody morons. I mean, look, Tony Abbott, I've met him a few times. Nice bloke. Goes to the surf club I'm a member of. Great fella on the surf. From all accounts, he's wonderful fighting bushfires. He is a 101% community guy. You can't take it away from him. Mm. But could there be a more divisive public figure? I don't think so, Mitch. And the Brits are just waking up to that.
Just finish with a bit of sport news. You've been a sports journo for decades. A lot of hoo-ha around the AFL Grand Final being officially moved to Queensland. I mean, were people really surprised this is going to happen? I thought it was pretty much a guarantee that we wouldn't be in Melbourne at least.
Look, it couldn't be in Melbourne, couldn't be at the MCG. It's always been 124, I think it is, years, 25 years, and it's never been outside Victoria. It has not been at the MCG on a few occasions, I think, for renovations and the like, but always in Victoria and always a daytime grand final. So, coronavirus has had to turn that all on its head. It's for the first time ever at the Gabba in Brisbane. Great ground for cricket, great ground for AFL as well. A night grand final, first time in history. I can understand South Australia and Western Australia being cranky as all get out because they are AFL states. And they've never had the grand final either. But the benefit here, it is a benefit to Queensland. It was the Palaszczuk government that put its hand up and said, listen, come north, bring 13 teams from Victoria, bring them north. We'll put them in these little quarantine bubbles. And Queensland kept the AFL season alive. So this is very much a thank you to Anastasia Palaszczuk. The fact that this peanut premier is a week out from her state election, it will only be gravy for her. She doesn't give a rat's at Prime Minister Scott Morrison saying, open your borders. She's saying, no, it's for, well, I'm keeping Queenslanders safe. So They can waive all the rules for AFL royalty. You see Gillon McLachlan and the family all donning their Gucci masks and hopping in the business class seats, flying up there into bloody 2 weeks of quarantine in the 8-star, whatever it is, the Brisbane Snot Gobbler Hotel. I mean, one rule for these people, another rule for all the plebs. But that's what it is. That's modern Australia. One rule for the well-heeled, the big end of town. What was that great line from Midnight Oil? The rich get richer and the poor get the picture. That's what this is all about.
We should probably reach out to the Snot Gobbler Hotel in Brisbane for some sponsorship deals. But there you go. The biggest stories in the news. The old mate, take Murray Oz. Thank you very much.
Great, mate. Have a wonderful week. We'll have you on next week, buddy.
Do you remember your tuck shop? It was the place to go to get those special little treats that all remain in our hearts.
Well, it's time to return.
Starting on Sunday, the 13th of September, the Tuck Shop is coming and it's going to be chock full of Australian music goodness.
From crunchy rock
to spicy rap,
the Tuck Shop will deliver new Australian music every single week.
So jump in line and wind your weekend down with us. Mick and Tara, 5 p.m. each Sunday on 2SER.
The Tuck Shop. Aussie music just like you remember it.
You're tuned to One Last Thing at 2SER's very own Budget Tonight show with me, Mitch Byatt. And one thing we do on this program is get our future correspondent in to tell us what the future has in store. He joins us now. Hey, Roachy, how you doing?
G'day, Mitchy. I'm well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm very well. Thank you for asking. So if you haven't heard this segment before, Roachy is now, as we speak to him live, somewhere in the future, and he's going to give us a bit of an insight into what we may expect. So, Roachy, how far into the future are we going this week?
Mitchy, we are 19 years into the future. I'm in the year 2039.
Okay, 2039. So just around the corner, figuratively speaking, what does the year 2039 hold for us this time?
Well, Mitchy, I have some cracking environmental news for you today. So tie up your dreadlocks, tighten your rope around that tree, and make sure your kids aren't vaccinated because we're going green.
All right.
Yeah. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's dive in. Let's do this.
All right, mate. So in an historic day in this fine country, the very last petrol-fueled car did its final earth-murdering drive. Local man, motorhead, and backwards-minded right-wing enthusiast Scott M. took his 2001 Toyota Corolla for a spin down to his beloved and now disgraced and defunct Shark Park in the Sutherland Shire. Several people were in attendance, none as important as Scott M.'s longtime sidekick, bearer of the One Ring, and Elijah Wood's superfan, Mr. Frido. At the conclusion of the drive, attendees succumbed to a grueling and sometimes overindulgent three-part retelling of their fantastical journey together. Some nerds are still talking about it today. But this was a momentous occasion, Mitch, as the now majority government, the Greens, finally achieved something. Residents of the progressive, self-entitled Sydney suburb of Newtown have been partying for days in celebration. Most are unemployed. All seem to have an aversion to deodorant. However, Mitch, this has been a long time coming, fighting for these fuel guzzlers to be taken off the road. But it hasn't stopped there. Films that depict petrol-fueled vehicles have also been removed from our screens. Goodbye, Herbie the Love Bug. Farewell, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Good riddance, The Fast and the Furious 1 through 24. Of the latter, Vin Diesel has been charged with crimes against humanity by the UN Human Rights Court. Of course, while Elon Musk giggles like a spoiled child to himself, many Sydney-siders are still coming to terms with these new electric cars and where they can drive to. Well, Mitch, I'm happy to report holiday and body-waxing accredited destination Rudy Nudies is fully motor electric certified. Book your stay today for a waxing of your motor vehicle and your sex vehicle, if you know what I mean. But anyway, Mitch, that's it from me in this year of 2039. back to you.
Yeah, well, there's a lot there, as there always is. And so, I mean, just going back in that painstaking work of having to remove cars from every Australian film, like what happens to a film like Mad Max? That surely would involve a bit of a plot twist or a plot change.
Well, it's just gone, Mitch. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, completely.
It's just a movie called Max.
It walks everywhere. It's a lot longer than the original. And I guess for that last petrol-powered slash earth-killing vehicle driven by one Scott M, does that end up in a museum? Is this some kind of like time capsule, or we just kind of chuck it in the bin? What happens to that?
No, we just get rid of it. It's a bloody Toyota Corolla, mate. No one gives a shit about it.
Okay, and I might go and join. Will you join them over in Newtown at that festival of celebration? Lots of bean curd, I imagine.
Oh, it's a hard place to get into. You first have to get over the smell. The music they play is often hard to find a rhythm in. But, you know, I'll give it a go, but I don't think I'll stay for long.
Okay. Just make an appearance next to the bongo circle, maybe. Well, there you have it. A look at the year 2039. Some people listening to 2SER might be actually quite enamored to hear that's how it goes. So thank you very much, Rachie. We'll chat to you next week.
Amazing, mate. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
You are on One Last Thing here on 2SER 107.3 with me, Mitch Byde. Hope you're enjoying your Friday evening. You're about to a whole lot more because I'm joined by Billy for the segment. You haven't heard of them. How are you, Billy?
I'm good, thanks, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well. Thanks for asking, Billy. Now, this segment is called You Haven't Heard of Them. It's where I give you a fake band and a fake song. You have 1 week to produce the goodies, and then you come and present them for us all on 2SER. So you've been doing this for about over 10 weeks, so I've definitely traversed a fair number of musical genres. But last week I gave you a bit of a 50s doo-wop sort of sound. How did you find coming up with this one?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was difficult. I haven't had much experience running doo-wop. Like, believe it or not, I haven't had that much experience. But like the ones that I've struggled with in the past, I just had to put myself into the mind of a character that is in the Chumleys. I won't say much more than that. You'll get it when we listen to it. But, yeah, I had to really enter someone else's mind palace, basically.
I'm imagining you walking down the street wearing, like, you know, a leather jacket and your hair all quiffed up, just pushing people around. That's kind of what I've been envisioning.
Yeah, I've been backhanding people a week, constantly smoking cigarettes. It's not good for me, Mitch. It's killing me.
So the group was the Chumleys, and the song was called She Used to Be My Girl. Let's have its worldwide debut right here on One Last
Thing.
All
right. 1, 2, 3, 4. She was my girl. And now I'm filled with woe. Now I think it's time. I gotta let it go. I drove by your house in my brand new auto. I don't think she was too impressed. I started to feel.
Don't you?
I said, let's take a ride, grab a milkshake, go down Route 61. Smoke cigarettes in the movie theater. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
She turned to me and she sighed. It's a look I'd seen plenty. She grabbed me by my bow tie and she screamed.
This is Australia and it's 2020.
Oh, wow. That had everything I hoped it would. Well done, Billy. That was great. That was great. The Chumleys, She Used to Be My Girl. She wah, wah, wah. That was just my favorite part. One of many favorite parts, actually. I love the accent as well. So have you been going full method by talking like that throughout the production of this tune?
Yeah, I'm single now. I don't know if that's obvious. Just Yeah, I've been. I watched Goodfellas the other night, so I added a bit of that kind of that action.
There was a little bit of wise guy kind of action, and some problematic lyrics for 2020. As the special guest, I think, said on that track.
Yeah, I just like the idea of some guy who can't get it in his head that people don't talk like that anymore and don't drive like Oldsmobiles around anymore.
This is, of course, normally I have the fake band and the fake song. I'm going to give you a choice this week because we haven't got many weeks left, I don't think, on this fantastic show. I'm never sure how long we're going to be going for, but I wanted to open it up this week and give you the choice. I'm going to give you the genre. I've got two band names and two songs in front of me right here. I'm going to give you the choice. Would you want to create a track for a screamo/emo/pop punk band, or would you want to create a track for a dancey house kind of Fatboy Slim-esque kind of group? That's your choice. Choose carefully, and that way I'll give you the fake names and the fake okay. fake songs.
Oh, you want me to choose first? Sorry.
I want you to choose. I want you to choose which one you want to go for next week.
Okay. Well, that's tricky. I'm just thinking back to the Scar one, which I, you know, was good. It was good for me to do something I didn't like, but it was hard. It was like getting blood out of a stone. I think I'm going to go the Fatboy Slim, the dance number.
All right. Okay. So the fake band is called Great Noise.
Great Noise. Okay.
And Great Noise. And the fake song is called Get Your Fill. think of it as kind of like your late 90s, early noughties, like peak of, you know, those kind of raves and kind of warehouse parties, very like kind of Fat Boy Slim Brighton sort of, you know, UK sort of feeling. But yeah, great noise with Get Your Fill, you know, Basement Jacks S kind of sounding, you know, make it sound quite exotic if you can, of course. I'm sure you will. But that's what we'll be hearing next week. Great noise, Get Your Fill. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome, man. I've got my fat pants on already.
Well, we are traversing the music genre world, and it's all thanks to you, Billy. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, man.
Celestial pop outfit Tibbo has found a sweet combo of dry wit and homemade charm on their debut, Or Not Tibbo, the 2SER feature album. With members plucked from Moog-driven band Minimum Chips, Tibbo takes a similar approach with surprising arrangements, drifting melodies and a smoked-filled atmosphere. Or Not Tibbo by Tibbo, the feature album on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
And that is our show for your Friday evening. Thanks for doing one last thing together. My name is Mitch Byatt. Thanks to Murray Olds, the old mate take. Thanks to Tom Roachy Roach for his future correspondent. Thanks to Billy as well for the Chumleys. She used to be my girl. Great noise coming next week. I'll see you then. Be good.